Amen. Praise the Lord for this good number. Praise the Lord for what I've already felt in my heart that I've already been praying. Lord, don't let me mess it up now. I tell you, it's so good to be here. I've been really looking forward to getting back and seeing everyone and just what the Lord has laid on my heart. I like messages like that, Brother Tony. Some that you feel confident in, you know, and not that you ever don't feel confident in God's word, but there's times I don't feel confident in myself, and I think that's okay. I'll admit that. Never want to be confident in self and flesh. I'll just get you in trouble. But if you will, let's be turning to Deuteronomy chapter number 30. I want to start there, but we'll be going a few different places, but I did want to start there this morning. And while you're turning there, I do have a couple of announcements. I think I mentioned this maybe on Wednesday night. But after the service today, what I'd like to do is I have just a little business, if you will, with the opening of the doors of the church. I've had interest in church membership, and I told them we'd try to do that today after the service, take care of that. So looking forward to that and thankful for that. I'm thankful that our church is growing. I'm thankful people interested in coming to be with us and maybe return to us or to be with us, and I'm thankful for that. And praise the Lord for it. And I also want to make mention of this to invite the men of the church on Tuesday night after our deacons meeting. What we're going to try to do is talk more about our safety team and try to get some more things in line there. So we want to invite you, and we'll be giving more information about that. Or if you have any questions, please contact me. But we'd like for you to be with us on Tuesday night also. So in studying on Wednesday nights, it kind of what sparked my interest on this and kind of coming back to talking about the land of Palestine or Israel, and kind of talking about Joshua there. We've been studying a little bit there on Wednesday nights and kind of going through with the book of Hebrews, but it's landed us here with some of the incidents that are cases, situations that Joshua had found himself in. And I have to say that's one of my favorite books of the Bible. I love it. A lot of action in it, a lot of victory in it. The Lord is the one who gains the victory through it all, but it's about teaching us about what it's like to live in the land of the Christian relationship. It's not talking about heaven, but the land that we can have here on this earth. And I think sometimes that we might get to the place that this is as good as it gets, or maybe we get to a place in our Christian lives and we kind of stall out a little bit. And I don't want us to do that. I don't want us to experience that in our life. And another thing that I've really had on my heart is our young people, our young couples, really helped me pray about this. I've been talking to some, and I invite information or feedback from other young couples in our church. I want to be there for you. I want us to be able maybe to have a class or sometime. I've not formed it or framed it necessarily in my mind, but I think about our young couples, and they need our help. They really do. Just like our young people, just our older people, there's different stages in life that we find ourselves, and we need help at every part of those, at each one of those stages. I know I have. I can look back and I can see and appreciate people who've helped me through different parts of my life, and I definitely want to pay that back or give that back to our young people. And I'll say that this message, if you really pay attention to it, I think that it's really going to help you out. I think it'll be a blessing to you in what we're talking about here. We're talking about the land that was promised to Israel. We touched on this just a little bit on Wednesday night, but I want to take it a step further here. And you see the covenant that was given to the people here in Deuteronomy. This is what was promised to them. And we see this given to them. Deuteronomy chapter number 30, verses 1 through 10. "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children and all thine heart and with all thine soul, that then the Lord thy God will return thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine hand be driven out, or if any of thine be driven out into the outmost parts of the heaven. From thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into a land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return to obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in his book of law, this book of law, the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul. We see a contingency here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord. I thank you for these people that's been able to be here, Lord, with us today. Lord, we love and appreciate each one. God, I thank you for the word that you've confirmed in my heart. God, just how precious your word is to me, how precious it is to us, God, that we do have a standard to go by, a guidebook for all phases of our life, Lord, not just at the beginning, middle, but the end for eternity. This is an eternal book, God. It gives us all that we need to know. It leaves nothing out. And God, it's up to us to go in and search it out and find it, meditate on it, have it in our mouth, have it in our mind. Lord, have it in our motive and what we're doing from day to day. But God, I just pray and ask, Lord, that you move mightily upon us here today. Be with me, God, my heart and my mind. Lord, help me to say everything that I should. Lord, I just know that you have a purpose for this message. And God, I just pray that it land in the right hearts and the right ears, God, that we would take it and we'd grow from it, we'd learn from it, Lord. God, I just love you and I just thank you so much for what you're doing. I thank you for the wonderful Spirit. Lord, without your Spirit, we can do nothing. Without you, Lord, being the vine, we have no power. We can do nothing. God, I just pray you do the work here today, what you'd have to be done. Lord, I pray for those that are lost here today, those that are lost listening, I pray for them. God, touch their hearts and help them to see their need of salvation. Lord, help them, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It is so good to be here today. It's good to see Brother Curtis here and little Uriah. Saw you walking in. That does my heart good, not to embarrass you, but brother, we're glad you're here. We're praying for you. We're standing behind you. We're standing with you. And I'm so glad to see you. But this morning, we're talking about the land. We see this promise here. If you will, let's turn to Joshua chapter number 1. I wanted to start here in this book to show the promise that was given. A beautiful thing here is that God promised this land to them. He says, it's yours. You go take it. It's yours for the taking. It wasn't a matter of them trying to not know what each battle would end up being, but God gave it to them. He's saying it's yours. You can go have it. You can take it. But a lot of times what they did in battle, or what they did, is they became complacent. They would start out. They would look. They would become fearful of what this next challenge in life would be, and they would stop. They would halt. And that's not what they were supposed to do. I look at it like this. I tried to give a good illustration. I try to do that each time to kind of frame the message, and it actually helps me frame my mind too. A lot of what I've got to be able to do here recently is a lot of land photography. Brother Tanner, I thought about you a lot during this message. I think you do some things like that too, and it's a lot of fun. I love getting out and seeing the land. Every time I get a call, somebody says, hey, I need you to come take a look at this land, and I want you to capture the views. I want you to see all the things about it. And they want me to capture the good parts of the land. And they want me to get out there and show the good pieces and parts of it and show. And I love doing that. I've got to go to places I never would have been able to go to and see. And it's fun to do it. Sometimes you get sunsets. Sometimes you get bits and pieces of nature. And you get to see the land. There's so much talk about land today. That's what we hear about. If you can't find a house to buy, one thing I noticed last year, about the middle of last year, I went from doing a lot of home photographs to doing a lot of land photographs. People are now buying a lot of land. They need places to live. They need a place to go. And you know what? It's okay to want your own piece of land. That's okay. I saw this, how people ask me, is it okay to desire a place to live or to desire? That's okay. God put that in us. What did he promise the children of Israel? Their own land. That's what they wanted. That's what they needed. And God promised it to them. I think for us, one of the things that I greatly appreciate now, when I first remember talking about moving out of mom and dad's home, and it's kind of funny when I recount, me and my buddies in high school, we were going to buy townhomes. We're all going to live together. We was going to have 4, 5, 6 units, whatever, and their family would be in one, mine would be unit 2, unit 3. We all wanted to be together. But you know, as I've gotten older, I like to get further and further apart from people. You like that? You like your space? Yeah, I do too. You ever get tired of peopling? I love people, but you ever get tired of peopling? Just say sometimes I just want to go home where ain't nobody there but us and the dog and the cat. We got a cat now too. Things just keep showing up. But you see, that's the promise that was given here. The land, and it's amazing. That's what they wanted. I mean, that's what God wanted for them. That's what we call the promised land, where we want to go one day. But you know, spiritually, there's a land that we can have here, the Christian life. When you talk about crossing over Jordan, it's not talking about dying and going to heaven. It's talking about going through Jesus Christ. It's talking about dying to self and living in the spiritual land that God has promised you and I. That's what it's talking about. Would you say that you're living there today? Are you in the land? Are you on the plot of land that you want to be in? I look at it like that. Sometimes I feel like physically it's unattainable. But you know, spiritually, God has made promises to you and I. It is absolutely obtainable to every child of God. You can't limit yourself. We cannot limit ourselves. You see three things here, and I'll try to hurry along, and I've got probably 6 different points to go through, but I think they'll go quickly. I'm just trusting the Lord to bring them out. In Joshua 1:3, we see the condition of this land. There's a condition that was given out. Joshua 1:3, it says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." He's re-clarifying to Joshua. He said, just like I said to Moses, every place that the sole of your foot touches is yours. Now, I mentioned this Sunday night, or Wednesday night. I said, well, I think at this point, Brother Nathan, I'd just put my tennis shoes on and I'd go get it. I'd go claim it. What would you do? What would you do today if somebody said all the land that you walk out and you walk on, you can have it? What would you do? Would you sit here and say, nah, I can't have it? What would you do? I'd learn how to walk. I'd learn how to hike. I might even take up running at that rate. When you want to kind of take all you can in, why don't we? The condition is to go out and get it. Colossians 2:6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." It's saying get out and claim it. You have to go after it. I find this very interesting here. If you look at Joshua 1:4, it says, "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river and the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast." He outlines all that. He says, this is all yours. Just go and take it. The math of it, I kind of looked over this again because, again, I did mention this Wednesday night. The math of it would come out to be about 300,000 square miles if you look at what they're talking about here. 300,000 square miles. That's a lot of land. Brother Dale, you can put you a nice little plot out there and probably not see somebody for days, maybe. How much land do you think the children of Israel actually claimed? Anybody have any idea? Less than 10%. If you look it up, it's about 30,000 square miles.
Now, is that a good job? There's a lot of 10% in the Bible. You think, I thought about this during this study. You think about the leper that came back. How many out of the 10 came back? One. That's about 10%. I thought about this, Brother James. Why does the Lord only require 10% tithe? Because that's about all we're good for historically. Is that right? Think about it. All they had to do was go and take it. We're talking about physical land here that was promised to them, but I want us to see the spiritual application. Look what it says here in verse number 5. I'm just going to give this to you. It wasn't in my notes, but it's too good to pass up. It said, verse number 5, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He reassured him. The Lord God reassured him, said, if you want it, I'll be there and I'll help you take it. And no man can take it from you. That's the best odds you can get. That's the best that it can get. If God be for us, who can be against us? You see the map. Number one, you saw the condition. Two, you see the map. You see the key here in Joshua 1:8. This is the key. It always surrounds God's word. His word is so important. If you're going to live in the land, you have to take his word with you. You're not going to live in the land without his word. I want you to know that. The key here, number one, it has to be in our mouth. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It has to be in our mouth to meditate on it. It has to be in our mind. And then to observe it, to do what it says, it has to be in our motive, the reason why we're doing what we're doing. Something important I want us to see. Young Christians that's growing and growing in the Lord, that our young couples really come to mind when I think about this. I want you to see and understand something right here. The Bible is not just the bridge to get us into the land. It's not just to get us there, but it's the sword and it's the shield that protects us once we get there. Because there's going to be battles. See, that's not encouraging. It is if you listen to the entirety of the message. It gets very encouraging. There's things that we're going to face. There's things that we're going to see. Me and Brandy have talked about it many times, how thankful we are that we're together and some of the things that the Lord has shown us, just even surrendering to preach. That was probably the hardest time of my adult life. Kind of moved out from mom and dad's and experienced that part of it and starting out, which was kind of like I thought I was ready, but hey, I wasn't. My goodness, I didn't know hardly anything. I thought I really had a grasp on things. I really did. I thought I had things planned out. I had my own little town home and things were kind of looking good. But man, it got real hard and real murky real quick because I got out of the will of God. I got out of his house. I was trying to run the show myself, and that is not where you want to be. I don't care at what stage of your life. The worst thing you can do is get out of the will of God. That's the worst thing you can do. But at that stage of life, when you've got you, husband, wife, and then you've got children on the way, that's a very vulnerable time to be outside of God's house and protection. If I were the devil, that's when I'd want to attack you most, because I think I could get you. You got your mind on how you're going to work, how you're going to provide, how you're going to pay the bills. What about child care? You don't have time for this. You've got to work so much. You're so tired on the weekend. You can't go to church. It's not hard. The devil doesn't have to come up with too many different plans or devices against us. The same old ones work all the time. But we do have a protection against it. We see it in this verse. It's the word of God. I want to tell you this. I've studied on this a lot, and I don't care at what stage of life you're in. Even if you're an older, mature Christian, if you're not studying the word of God, you are in a vulnerable place. How many of us, and I know I've preached along these lines before, but it's crucial. It's crucial. If you're getting ready to go on a trip and you didn't fill your tank up with gas, you're not going to get far. It's the same thing here. It's crucial. Did you crack your Bible open this week? Did you study? Did you look to see what the Lord had for you? The Bible is not just a bridge that we must cross to get into the land. It's the sword and the shield that protects us once we get there. I want us to look at Joshua chapter number 5. This is the main part of the message here this morning. And if you're not careful, you could blow right past this with all the action that's going on in the book of Joshua. You could blow right past this. But we're going to look at Joshua chapter 5 verses 11 and 12. Just for the remainder here, maybe just another couple of places. But you're going to find the Lord spoke to my heart clearly and plainly. You're going to find as you grow in the Lord, as you grow up, as you go from parents' home to your own home, to having kids of your own, to having potentially grandkids, you're going to find this to be true. It's the Bible is good for all stages of life. You see here in Joshua 5:11, it says, "And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the same self day." Look at this, verse number 12. "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had any of the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." Number one, I want us to look at this here, this manna. I think that's a very special thing. If you go back to Exodus, and you don't have to turn there, just going to read a couple of verses just to kind of show us here. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 15 said, "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. As Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given unto you to eat." This is food from heaven. This is free to you, freely given. Man didn't make it. Man couldn't make it. God freely gave it. Verse 31, it kind of gives a more description. "And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like a coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers with honey." It sounded like it was a really something good, something sweet, and something easy to eat. Something easy that you can take in. It made me think of my first phase of life, going to church and not really understanding a lot of things and not growing. But you know, the Lord gives us word like that. That it's easy to understand. It's easy to take in. Thought about little Yo when he turned one this past week, right? How much steak does he eat? Don't eat no steak? He's missing out. Hamburger? Chicken? Barbecue? My goodness, I don't want to ever go back to that age. That don't sound like no fun at all. Well, yo, and he has to eat something that he can digest, right? Something he can take in, something that will help him to grow. That's what I categorize manna as. The children of Israel had this for 40 years. 40 years, that's what they had. God made it, God supplied it, God given food to them. They couldn't have made it if they wanted to. But they needed it. They needed to find a place that they could get a foundation and have a foothold on things. And guess where it came from? It came from heaven. So they knew where it come from. They knew where this light, easy, digestible food was to come from. They needed help. And it said here, Psalm 78:24, and it said, "And it had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven." It was described as the corn of heaven. There's a lot of corn around here, if you ever notice about that. You know, corn's probably the number one food source in the world. Did you know that? It's plenteous. I thought that was kind of interesting. I think it's interesting what the Bible uses to teach us. It was a very plentiful source. Now, the manna from heaven, it came from God. It was clearly from Him. It makes me think about going back to when I was in Sunday school. You know, I do not remember one lesson in my children's Sunday school that was covered, Brother Tim, in the book of Revelation. I don't remember that we really ever talked about prophecy much. I think about some of the things we talked about there is how much God loved me and how much I needed Him as my Savior. You know, that's pretty understandable at a very young age. A lot of times people get saved when they're very young because they're listening and they're eating on the manna of the Word of God. Well, it's a good place to be. It's sweet, Brother Terry. It tastes good. It's like honey. That's what the Bible says it's like. It's like honey. You can taste it. You can hold it. You can take it in. It's easy to digest. But you see, you can't stay there. You know what the Bible said? It said it ceased. After 40 years, it ceased. I guess we're just going to have to starve to death. I guess we can't eat no more. You see that phase of life, that time period that the children of Israel were coming out of. They're exiting out of that time and they were going away. What I see here in Joshua 1:11, I thought this was very interesting here. They're getting ready to take a journey. They're going from the land that they were in. They're going into the promised land. They had to cross over Jordan. They had to shout down the walls of Jericho. This was coming, but Joshua 1:11, you see a different phase of life that takes place here. It says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days you shall pass over Jordan and go and to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now it's different because he's saying here, he's telling the men to prepare this food. This isn't God-given manna from heaven at this time. He's saying, you prepare you victuals. This is man-given. Number one, we saw God-given. Number two, we see man-given. Given or victuals means food prepared. You say, why did they have to do that? You see, they hadn't been in the land yet. They hadn't had time to grow any crops yet. They had to take with them what they had. Brother Tanner, I think a lot about this. When I moved out of my parents' house, I had to take with me what I had. I loaded up what was in my room and Mom helped me with my laundry. She helped me with things. Dad and Mom would help me with things as I transitioned out. But I, even though I didn't have the manna, I was still living on something else. Even though I thought I knew it, I didn't. I was still depending on man-given advice. I had to because I didn't know. I didn't know. You see things on TV, you watch your mom and dad, you watch your friends, you think you know. But until you do it, you don't know. I'm just going to tell you, you don't know. I thought I did. I thought I had a lot of things figured out. And it didn't take long that I knew that I didn't. I had to rely on what man had given to me. How? What do you mean spiritually? Spiritually, think about it like this. If we're young and we're not studying the Word of God and we're only taking what we hear on Sunday and what we hear during Sunday school, maybe Wednesday nights, that's man-given. Brother Tim, that's man-given. You're taking what somebody else is saying, and you're listening to that. If you're not cracking open your Bible, that's where you're at, and that's where you're going to stay. You're going to stay in the victual stage, where somebody else prepared food for you, and that's all you're eating. That might sound good, but that's not the land that God wants us to be in. I'll use it like this, Brother Tanner. I thought about this. If you ever do land photography, they want you to go up and down and all through it, just kind of like the Bible says. There's a stream on the land, you've probably heard this, and it's never on top, is it? It's never at the end of the road, is it? It's at the behind the laurel thicket. That's where it's at. But I want that stream. Bless their heart, you get down there, it ain't rained in 2 days, and the stream's gone. It's just a little mud pile. I'm like, well, I don't have a water hose, but Brother Ben, that's, you've seen it. You've seen it, but you want to capture the good parts of the land. But see, you had to walk down through there and get it. You had to walk through and see it. But when you see the listing, it looks good. Like, man, there it is. There's that stream, just like they said. There's all this view, just like they said. But you know what? You're taking my word for it. You're taking Brother Tanner's word for it. You weren't there and saw it yourself. One of the things that I've seen and I've learned too, sometimes even though I captured my perspective, and how I see it, it might not be the perspective that the real estate agent wanted me to get. It's like, no, did you not get this? I hate it when I get that. Did you not? No, I didn't see that boulder. I'm sorry, I missed it. Well, I need you to go back and get it. I want us to understand this, young people. Church, I want us all to understand this. If you're not going through the Word of God, if you're not going through the land yourself, there's going to be things you're going to miss by taking somebody else's word for it. You're just not going to see it unless you're there to see it. You're going to miss it. And you're not even going to know you miss it. You'll be living off of, my preacher said, my grandpa said, my mama said. You'll be living off that, and that'll be the only Bible you know. And that is not where you want to be. In this day and time, people want answers. People want to know things. And sometimes you say, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. You have time for the Word of God. That's the most important thing in your life. Amen. If you want to be in that land that He's promised, you have to be in the Word. That's the map through the land. You have to be there. You have to go through and see it yourself. I tell you, I love hearing what preachers say. When a preacher's preaching it right, telling it, I enjoy it. But I actually want to see it for myself, though, too. Because when I experience it, it becomes mine. It means something to me. I can pass that on to my children, my grandchildren, Lord willing. That's something I can pass on. Not just what man has given or what somebody else has said. These commentaries, we've talked about this before in the Word of God and or different Bibles. The commentaries that you have, the concordances. You know, there's times I've read in there and I've absolutely disagreed with what they said. I want you to know you can't always take somebody else's word for it. Brother Allen, the older I get, the less I look at commentaries. You do get to a place that you have to understand the Bible has its own concordance and commentaries built into it. That's why as it is written, it gives you that reference to go back. Now go back and look for it. You see, that's the problem. People don't want to go back and look. I'll just ask my preacher. I'll just ask my teacher. That's okay in its own right, but God wants you to see it for yourself. He don't want you to live off of man giving. He don't want you to live off of 3 days worth of victuals, because you know what? That's going to run out. Brother Tony, it'd be easy to read commentaries. It'd be easy to go online and say, I'm going to look up all these different outlines and I'm going to save time because I'm busy. And that way I don't have to prepare an outline for myself, Brother Dale. I'll just use somebody else's. Boy, that is not how the Lord works, is it, Brother Allen? That commentary didn't know what this church needs. That commentary, Brother Norman, don't know what you and I need. It takes somebody walking through the land. It takes somebody going through. And I'll say this, Brother Tanner, what I like, sometimes it takes a lot longer, but I like it when the real estate agent is there, Brother Curtis, will say, I want to show you where this stuff is at. Let me just show you where it's at. That way we get it right the first time and you don't have to worry about everything. You, number one, you see what God had given with the manna. Number two, you see the victuals that was given, that was man given. And I want us to see here also what man and God does together. God and man together. We see the fruit of the land. I categorize this as the fruit of the Lord. Again, Joshua 1:11. Actually, Joshua 5. Let me get back over to the right place here. Joshua 5, 11 and 12. They did eat of the old corn of the land, and on the morrow and after the Passover, and the unleavened cakes and the parched corn, and the selfsame day, and the manna ceased. The easy food ceased on the morrow. And after they'd eaten of the old corn of the land, this old corn that they had, what they could take with them, the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Now that's a blessing. You might kind of pass through that thinking there's not much to that. But you went from a place that you couldn't prepare it for yourself. You did not have it for yourself. You relied solely on God. Then you went from a place that you relied solely maybe on mom and dad or guardian or whoever was helping you. Somebody that was looking out for you and taking care of you. And the man-given side of things, but you know, for you tonight to live in the selfsame day, the fruit of the land, it takes something very special, Brother Tony. It takes something very special. It doesn't take looking up commentaries from the best of the best to the worst of the worst. What I despise about that, I'm going to say it. I can't stand it when people say it here all the time. They'll say, the King James Version says this, but it's better if it was said like this. No. No, God said it right the first time. I'll just take His word on it. I don't need you to tell me what you think God could have done better, because I promise you, you're wrong. You're wrong in that. You say, preacher, I want to study. I have a hard time studying. I don't understand things. But I tell you, there's one who can help you better than anybody else. He can help you better than your preacher. I'll help you any way I can. Better than your teacher. Your teacher will help you any way they can. But there is one that can help you better than anybody else. It says here that they lived off the land that same year. That means they took what they had, they got in there, and then they had to get to work. You know, they had to start growing crops of their own. They had to get out in the garden. They had to start hoeing. They had to start digging. They had to start planting. That's a lot of hard work. Now, I have to admit, I hadn't done a lot of that. Mom and Dad have, and I know many of you have. But what a reward it is when you see it grow up. Is that not right? About time to get started with garden for too long, ain't it? This rain is helping. This rain is helping us, you believe it or not. But they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan. That's that spiritual food. I want us to turn to John chapter number 5. I'm sorry, John chapter number 15, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to close with this. Again, number 1, with the manna, we see what God had given. Number 2, that old corn, the old victuals that they had, that's what they had in place. That's what man had prepared. Prepare ye victuals. That's what they prepared with themselves. Look how God intends for you and I to live in this land, this promised land. It's talking about fruitfulness, living in the fruit of the land. And I call this the fruit of the Lord. Amen. It says here, John 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. You know what a husbandman is? It's a farmer. That's a big word for farmer. He's saying, my Father is the husbandman. You know what that tells me? If I'm out working in the garden in this land, who I need to be working beside? Keep reading. Keep looking what it says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He gets rid of the old stuff to keep the good stuff coming forward. It's important to get the old stuff out of the way. If you don't get the old stuff out of the way, it's going to zap the power that needs to go to the good stuff. I think it's pretty plain and simple to see, but a lot of times in our life, that's what we let happen. We let the bad stuff overtake us. We consume that and get full of that, and we don't have room for the good stuff, and that's a problem. That's not how you want to live in the land. It's like weeding the garden. That's part of it. Those weeds just don't fall out of the garden by themselves, do they? That's work. You have to physically go there, and you have to physically move the plants around, and you have to physically pull it out. I remember Mom and Dad's garden. I know they moved it from time to time, but one thing that we grew every year before we put anything in there, all you had to do was plow it up, is rocks. If you need any rocks, I can show you on the other side of the garden where plenty of rocks are at. Brother Garrett, you'd know. Brother Jim's the one who'd come plow the garden out for us. Plenty of rocks if you want any. I'm like, where do they all come from? I mean, how does that push it up out of the ground? But they're always there. And they have to be out of the way. You have to go through the process. You have to be there. You see how the Lord works things out of our life, and he moves things out of the way for us. He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's a good, fresh, hoed, watered garden. It's clean. But how did he make us clean? How is that garden clean? How is it clean? Through the word. This is as simple as it gets. This is simple. If you want to have the best garden you can have, you would probably try to do a few of these things, would you not? If it hadn't rained in a few days, what would you do? Water it. If it's getting weedy, what would you do? Pull the weeds out of it. If it needed more fertilizer, it don't look like it's growing fast enough, what would you do? Put fertilizer on it. But do we do that in our lives? Do we? No, that cuts into my Facebook time. That cuts into my TV time. That cuts into all this other stuff that I've got going on. Yeah, I want to live in the land and live the good life, but I don't want to do anything to get there. That's where we live most of the time. That's where our 10% comes from. 90% of our time is doing what we're not supposed to be doing. But we'll complain if we don't reap the benefits of that garden. That's where it's at. Abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. You see, that's one of the greatest fallacies we've got. We think we can do it ourselves. Our Sunday school is very much like that. We get puffed up into a position. We think, I can handle this by myself. Till the next thing happens and realize, no, I can't. I'm not as good as I thought I was. I didn't know as much as I thought I did. Young people, I want to tell you this from the very bottom of my heart. Not that mom and dad is imperfect. Is perfect. I would never say that. But mom and dad's experienced a few things and they want to help you. Having a little humility toward them, having a little love and understanding toward them is because they just want to help you. Trust me. I know mom and dad don't have it all figured out, but I promise you, you don't either. Amen. It's okay. The best advice I've been given through life is from people who love me and want to help me, even when it wasn't what I wanted to hear. It still helped me. He says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye could do nothing. This is what I want to get at right here. Number five, God, man, this is how God intends for us to live in this land. He wants us to walk through it. All up and down in it. It's all yours. Everything that's mentioned in the Word of God, it's yours for the taking. But he's saying you have to be the one to go get it. I've given you enough to get you started. Mom and dad or somebody else, different guardianships or what have you, have given you enough. Man has given you. But now he's saying, you know what? I want you to walk through it with me. Who's the husbandman? God. Who's the vine? Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying here. Sister Alice, this is what it's saying. It's saying, open it up. Just you and me, the Holy Spirit and God, and I'm going to show you a few things, Brother Curtis. That's how we grow. That's the land that we're supposed to live in. I love good advice from people. I love what people have to say when it's right and when it's sound. But you know, there is something special when I've opened up God's Word and He's given me something just like this that I can stand on. Because you know what? Nobody can take it away. It's God given. God give it to me. It's mine. And you know what? Here's the thing. I've walked up and down through and I can see and I know where to go back and find it. If somebody else needs help, I can say it's right here because I've seen it and it's helped me. Not a picture of what somebody else had. God wants us to have this life with Him. I know I've talked a lot to the young people. It goes for every single one of us this morning. But you see this land. I can't get over this. How God promised this, and He said, nothing is going to stand in your way. You just have to go get it. It's the same thing for you and I in our Christian life. It's yours. It's yours for the taking. This land is yours. This land that you want, this land that's being fought over. Think a lot about why this land is being fought over in Israel. Because they didn't take enough of it. They should have took more. Hey, if you own it all, you don't have any battles. It's all yours, right? Think about that. Think about the victories that you could gain in the Lord if you just walk through the land with Him. He said, I'll go with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll go with you. I'll help you. I'll show you these things. You don't have to take J. Vernon McGee's word for it. I'll give you my word for it. He said, I'm right there with you. But do we want that? Do we want that? If you will, stand with me this morning. I appreciate your good attention. I'll ask the ladies to come.